Hello, my name is John Downer. This is Type Radio from New York. Now we're talking.
Hello, my name is Paul Shaw. This is Type Radio from New York. Now we're talking.
Type Radio.
Just my type.
Obviously, Ed Benge. Now there we got our New Yorker.
Yeah.
Our Brooklynite, our New Jerseyite. Yeah. I mean, Ed is probably the quintessential New Yorker in his attitude, his personality, and his, I think the variety of his typefaces, the fact that there isn't necessarily a Ben-Gat look, you know, sort of speaks to New York as a mix of cultures, a mix of ethnicities, that you don't find people wanting to stick to.
He's a very open-minded letterer. He has no real pet style that you see in his lettering, but you do see it in his type design.
Well, there are certain letters that he'll pick out a solution and he'll stick to it from face to face. Mm-hmm. But the faces don't have necessarily this, you know, a Ben-Gat style, maybe an ITC style at one point.
Yeah, he was under direction, you might say, at the time. I used to stop in and visit Ed when he was working at Photo Lettering, and he taught me some good techniques about, you know, scraping negatives and you know, steadying your hand in a certain way so you get a better line, and useful lessons. Just watching him work, you know. He'd have a cigarette in one hand and, you know, a crow quill pen in the other, and just.
I just saw him cutting out Tiffany bold italic in reverse from Ruby Lith with a X-Acto knife while talking. I mean, it never occurred to me that, you know, that you wouldn't draw the lines with ink and fill everything in.
No, I used to cut
ruby
a lot.
To cut ruby lith, because it saved you all that inking.
Yeah, I used to do a lot of that. In fact, the first artwork that I submitted to ITC was done in ruby, and then they just made exposures from that. I got my experience cutting ruby lith in the sign industry, cutting you know, positives for photo silk screen, and then also lacquer stencils. You'd peel and actually adhere the lacquer stencil to the screen. It's so much more efficient to do 18 inch by 24 inch real estate signs, for instance, silk screen one side, and then, you know, silk screen the other after lunch or whatever. It's dry. There's actually a trick you can do. You can do two sides if you make your margins large enough so that you can make a little border of yardsticks around, and there isn't too much give in the middle there. So you can do your registration. So that do one side A and then side B and then rack them.
I don't have the same sort of experience as you've got, John. I mean, you seem to have gone through all this sort of apprenticeship, job way of discovering how to do things, which is, you know, kind of a difficult thing to do nowadays unless you're learning on the computer. I mean, all the skills are gone.
Well, the danger factor, too. I don't enjoy heights, and I especially didn't enjoy being up 7, 8, 9 stories on a windy, cold day, you know, lettering, cutting in, or even just filling in with a, you know, a master sign painter, a journeyman. This day and age, I'd want hazard pay. I demand it. I'm not going to be up that high. Put me on the ground. Give me my laptop.
I thought for a moment when you said the danger, you were talking about the fumes from silkscreen painting.
Oh, not on a windy day. Not on a windy day. Those fumes dissipate real quick. I'm just talking about the feeling of being up there on a swing stage and feeling the wind kind of shake the plank. And I'll tell you, Paul, you don't step back to admire your work when you're that high off the ground.
Not unless you're Buster Keaton.
Oh, God almighty. And thank God for rollers, because the work goes a lot faster than with a cutter or a Fitch. Well, those are two kinds of brushes. That
you asked early on where you know, inspiration comes from. I kind of realizing that, you know, my background is in academia essentially. I didn't study calligraphy and lettering and everything else formally. I had a commercial art class in high school where I learned what gouache was and a ruling pen. And other than that, I took a class with Lloyd Reynolds outside of Reed College, where he said to me, you're too good. Sit in the back of the room and stay quiet.
He said that to you?
And then he told me to burn two of the books I taught myself from, which I promptly had rebound. One is called 144 Alphabets from the J. Padel Book Company.
Don't know that one. I don't
Very
know that
title. Very
few
people do. I've never seen another copy in my life. It is a mix of everything from Albrecht Dürer and Arrighi to some of the most god-awful stuff from the 20s and 30s you ever saw, with no text whatsoever.
Oh, so you imitated those styles as well, huh?
Anything that caught my fancy.
Imitate the best, imitate the worst.
Lloyd was horrified by this book.
I can picture that. Now, I never knew Lloyd Reynolds, but his taste in letter forms was apparent and widely known.
So my 3 months semester in that class is a blur. I remember more getting rides back to Reed College after from the other side of the river with him at night in his car with his driver.
He had a chauffeur?
I think it was just somebody who helped him.
Oh.
No, it was the chauffeur. He wasn't that rich. No, somebody was driving once or twice, but he'd give me a ride back because there was a terrible bus system back then. It's really good now. But I remember I asked him once what I should charge. I was charging I think it was $2 an hour at the time. Minimum wage was $1.15 back then.
So you were beating that.
And he said to me, well, you're pretty good, but you're not as good as me. I would charge $10 an hour. I think you should charge $6. I'm like, wow!
Three times.
$6 an hour.
Triple your rate.
I think I raised my rate to like $3 or $4 for the school because I was doing work for Reed. But I had no idea when I went to Reed that it was known for calligraphy. I've been doing this stuff on my own, self-taught in high school. Didn't even know the word calligraphy till this woman saw my work at an art exhibition and said, oh, who's doing the beautiful calligraphy? And I said, I don't know. She said, over there. And I said, oh, you mean the letters? She goes, yeah, the beautiful calligraphy. No, just letters.
So you start out self-taught.
Self-taught from the Speedball book.
Uh-huh.
I think number 14. From Lindgren's 3 volumes.
Yeah.
That my aunt in the Treasury Department had somehow found for me. And the book that I never read, my father bought for me, Edward Johnston's book. But the cover was so goddamn ugly. The typography so ugly, I still, to this day, have never read the book all the way through. This is 67. But Lindgren was it. I mean, my heroes were Lindgren, Rudolf Koch, Michael Harvey, George Salter, and Hermann Zopf. Pretty good group of people to start from without having any idea who the hell they were.
Yeah.
And so I went to Reed because I decided not to go to art school, figuring that was a dead-end career move. Ended up at Reed, where the first day at the campus, my mother says, hey, look at those signs on the trees. You do that stuff, don't you? I mean, isn't that the worst thing you can tell a teenager who's got one talent? Somebody else does the same thing you do?
Oh, I don't know if I'd take it quite that way.
Well, it was like, you know, the one thing that set you apart in high school, all of a sudden, other people do it. Yeah. So, you know, I totally ignored the calligraphy studio the entire 4 years I was at Reed. I snuck in one night and swiped copies of all of Palladino's and Reynolds' sheets so I'd have them for my collection.
Not you.
I had friends who were art students.
You're admitting to theft. Weren't we just talking about that yesterday? Have you ever stolen anything?
Of course. Almost everybody has stolen.
Borrowed.
No, I was.
We're talking about downloading fonts. Have you ever?
John has never stolen.
I have never downloaded an illicit, font or copy. Yeah. So see, another one, just pure as the driven snow. You got two in the same room. Yeah.
I've got Palladino and Reynolds. Photocopied.
Physical thing. Yeah. But we're talking about living in the digital world, and I say, geez, why in the hell would I have to steal somebody else's work? I can make a better version that's going to please me, and it isn't going to take me very long because I know how to do this stuff. Do I really need somebody else's font? Hell no.
No, the reason I need people's fonts is so I can teach my students, show them samples. So I'm always begging and borrowing fonts from everybody I can.
There's always like this gray area.
There isn't.
That's like the basics of the problem. There's always like, I need it for, I'm not like this accusing you, but sort of for research, for whatever.
Okay, PDFs to the rescue. You know, I'm not sucking fonts out of PDFs. I just ask a friend, would you typeset something for me in your own font so that I can show this as an example?
They're always,
without exception, happy to oblige unless, of course, you know, there are time constraints. But
Some people have done that.
There are.
I mean, Susanna Lichko did PDFs for me, but and she did them to my specs.
And me
but,
too.
But
yeah.
The problem with PDFs is that when I'm teaching, I want to often mix and match different ideas.
Mm-hmm.
So if I've got the fonts, I can all of a sudden realize, hey, this other font that I've got would make a nice comparison.
Mm-hmm.
I can't keep going back to somebody and saying, can you make me another PDF that compares your font to John Downer's?
Yeah, well, of course, you're doing this for educational purposes on a regular basis, whereas, you know, my occasional need is more for presentations at conferences or giving a lecture.
I mean, what my students get from me is photocopies of either printouts that I've from files that I've made or from the PDFs. They keep asking for the real fonts.
Of course. Could you spare a copy, they say.
Well, they say, I need it for the paper I'm writing for you. And I say, well, that's fine.
Mm.
You know, go ask the designer.
Yes.
I don't think they're going to give it to you, but if they are willing to, then that's their problem.
Yeah. Carl Rohrs teaches at Cabrillo College in Santa Cruz, and we were talking one time about the lack of reluctance among university professors to share the work of others. So, Sami wants to take pictures as we conclude our discussion
here.
All
right, well, to wrap it up, the only difference between Iowa and New York is Iowa is a lot farther from Europe.
Typeradio.org.